Rabbi Shimon Kaplan.
Vayhi miketz shenasayim yomim. At the end of 2 years, Yosef, through a whole sequence of events, was released from his imprisonment in Mitzrayim. Chazal tell us very clearly the reason why Yosef HaTzadik remained imprisoned an extra 2 years, because he said to the Sarah Mashkim, Ki im zachatani itcho kashitav loch. He asked the Sarah Mashkim, who's being released from prison, please remember me and please try to intercede on my behalf to have me released from prison. Just notice yesterday when Abayis Hazeh, he was so positive thinking, he called it a house. Just noticed that yesterday. But the son of Abayis Hazeh, the person has to always look positively at his surroundings. In Egyptian prison, we cannot imagine what type of way it looked. But the Chazal tell us, because he did his shtadlus to get himself released from prison, that's why he was punished to remain an extra 2 years in prison. And when we hear this Chazal, we often think to ourselves, what was the grace of Chet? He did a little bit. Say twice. Oh. What's the grace of Chet to do a little bit of a shtadlus in a situation which looked very, very bleak? Just a smallish shtadlus. He spoke to the Sarah Mashkim, just remember to speak about my position to Paroi to help me get released. What was the grace of Chet in that shtadlus? So Madrekas Adam, the Navadigas, they go always with no ishtadlus at all. That's the Mahalach of Bitochen in Navadik. The famous story, the Bocher was traveling. He arrived at a small village. He gets out the train. He goes to the base of Medrash to learn. Somebody sees him there. Shachris, Mincha, Marev. Where's he eating? Where's he sleeping? He goes over to him and says to him, have you got food to eat? He says, no. Have you got an invitation? He says, no. He feels sorry for him, so he brings him food to the base of Medrash. This goes on for 2-3 days, and he asks this boy, where are you traveling to? I'm traveling to Navadik. He says, why don't you carry on your journey? He says, I've got no money for the train. He says, you know, I'll take you to the train station, I'll pay for your ticket. So off they go to the train station. He says to the boy, I don't understand you. What were you thinking, buying a ticket only halfway, that's all you could afford? How did you intend to travel the other half of the way? He said, Rabbeinu Shloilam, Bitochen, we don't do ishtadlus. So the fellow says to him, he's a fool, he says to him, if not for me, you'd be starving in that base of Medrash, you wouldn't get anywhere. That's what I'm saying. You know, that was his betochen. So the Madrekas Adam's got a mahalach that Yosef HaTzadik shouldn't have done any ishtadlus whatsoever. Hashem is orchestrating events, there's no necessity for any ishtadlus whatsoever. The Pasuk tells us that the caravan which Yosef travelled to Mitzrayim had very good smelling spices. Chazal tell us that Yosef HaTzadik was traveling. Akshpoch wanted to make sure that he's traveling in a pleasant environment, and that's why Akshpoch made that these Ishmaelim were carrying spices. They normally carried other goods which didn't have such a good smell. In order Yosef to travel in style and comfort. And everybody asks the question, he's going to slavery, he's been sold by his brothers, going to an unknown place, away from Yaakov Avinu, away from his Chavrusa, Torah, going to a place which is Mole Tuma. How is it possible he's going to even notice what his surroundings are like? What did Akshpoch have to do this for? Is he going to notice whether there's sweet-smelling spices around him or not? He's going to be preoccupied with his fate, with his future, how to get out of his predicament. What is Pshat Akshpoch made this miracle that they should have spices, you should have a sweet smelling journey? So once the Ramat Solomon Zayin Gezunt, he said, Pshat is that Yosef HaTzadik, like we just said, was Kulei Toilon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He understood everything happened to him was orchestrated from above. And now he was completely relaxed. He was completely relaxed in his situation. He knew full well Hakshpov was pulling the shots, he's pulling the strings, he's orchestrating events. He was completely relaxed. And because he was completely relaxed, it would make a difference to him that he's got sweet-smelling spices to smell as he's travelling into captivity. He was totally relaxed, he was calm. He wasn't mevulbal, he wasn't nervous. He's together with the Rabbeinu Shloilam. The Rabbeinu Shloilam is sending him on this journey. And therefore he would appreciate the spices. Just thinking about this vort from Matzio, and Gaman told me this morning, he told me that he fetched him to take him to the airport a number of times. And he would walk into the kotel at 10:30. We know when we travel, we get a bit nervous beforehand. When you come to middle age, you get more nervous. The older you get, the more nervous you get. We're talking about a man of 90 who's traveling on a flight, and he's sitting in kotel, his usual time. He's going to be picked up 10:30 for the EasyJet flight. And he said to me, he walks into kotel, he can't believe it. Rabosh is sitting there, not just a small Gemara, travel Gemara, ready to go. He's sitting there with a big Gemara open, with his papers on the table, and other Svarim on the table. He's writing. That means he's Mechadosh Chidushim, he's completely involved in his learning. And the Gemara walks over to him, we're ready to go to the airport. He puts all his papers away, puts his pen away, packs everything into his little briefcase. Such calmness. Such gewaltige calmness. This stems from this understanding that everything is orchestrated from above. There's nothing to get nervous about. So Madrega, gewaltige Madrega. So Moedige Meister Bischutna, Zechon Levrocha. He was on the plane that was hijacked. Famous story. And they were landed in the desert in Africa. People have read the story. The passengers suffered from tremendous thirst. It was boiling hot. For a long time, never needing to drink. Their throats were parched. They were desperate for drinks. And eventually the terrorists came on board with water and started giving out water. They came to the Bitzchak Hutner. They gave him a small bottle of water. And he said, cola. Interesting. He wants a proper drink. So they bought him a bottle of cola. They bought him a bottle of cola. The man's so thirsty, everybody's thirsty, it's hot, it's humid, and apparently he was sitting there with his reckle and his hat. He didn't lose himself. And he told the terrorist, bring me a cup. This hunter doesn't drink from a bottle. He drinks from a cup. They were so shocked. He was so thirsty, he had the chutzpah to ask for a bottle of cola. And then when he's brought the bottle of cola, he insists on drinking it from a cup, like a mensch, not from the bottle. That's his madrega. Never lose oneself. Totally relaxed and calm. Shpohu's orchestrating events. What's going to happen is going to happen. I'm not in control of my circumstances. Completely relaxed and calm. That's what Matzio said was Yosef HaTzadik. He was relaxed and calm. He's B'yad Hashem. And therefore he would notice the sweet-smelling spices and enjoy them. But the truth is, these are madregas that's very hard for us to connect with. Still a bit beyond us. We can strive for it, but we can't connect with these type of madrigas. If Shlomo Klugas is a gewaltige pshat on this kasha, which we can connect with a little bit easier. The question, why did Yosef get punished for just doing a little bit of ishtadlus? He asked the Saramashkim to remember to speak to Paro to get him released. What was so terrible? So if Shlomo Klugas, gewaltige pshat, this dream of the Saramashkim was a type of nevuah. Yosef interpreted it was definitely going to be according to his interpretation. Yosef was divinely inspired to interpret the dream correctly. Says of Shlomo Kluger, Yosef had just told the Saramashkim, in 3 days' time you're going to be released from prison. So of Shlomo Kluger, true, he's supposed to ask the Saramashkim for some help. That's minimal status you're allowed to do, you're supposed to do. But why speak to him now about it? That was the Taina. Now, it's still 3 days before the Saramashkim could do anything with it. Why tell him now? In 3 days, a lot of things can happen in 3 days. He might be released for another reason. doing Ishtadlos 3 days before he spoke to do that Ishtadlos, that was the Tviyah on Yosef. Why do it now? Why waste a sentence? Why waste words? Why think about 3 days' time? The Ishtadlos he did now wasn't going to help him in the moment. It's going to help him 3 days' time. A person, especially like Yosef HaTzadik, he shouldn't be worried what's going to happen in 3 days' time. The Ishtadlos was correct, Dr. Shlomo Kluger, but it shouldn't have been done at that point. It should be done just before he got released. Rav Moshe Bochus Schulzinger said over this vault, and he said the following story. A rich man once came to the Brisker Rav with a few thousand dollars. A lot of money in those days. Today as well. And he brings the Brisker Rav a few thousand dollars. And the Brisker Rav says, "What's it for?" "It's for your kodel, for yeshiva." Biskrov definitely needs money to run his big moisset. Biskrov says, "I don't need money." "So Biskrov, you don't need money?" He says, "Look, for this chodesh I paid already. The next chodesh is in 10 days' time. So at the moment, we don't need any money. We don't need money. It's fine. I'm not making ishtadlus now for 10 days' time." So the Gvir left Biskrov with the money he had brought him. On Rosh Chodesh late at night, 12 o'clock at night, the Gvir comes to Biskarov with his wad of money to try again. Biskarov asked him, "Why did he come so late at night? It's very late, 12 o'clock. He said to Biskarov, "When it comes 7 o'clock in the evening, you have told me, I don't need money, I'm only paying the koil tomorrow morning. 7 o'clock, still 12 hours to go. You won't, and last Chodesh I paid already. So I came late at night. Kind of now maybe I've got a chance. Biskarov will accept the money." He said, "Yeah, I'm about to go to sleep. Tomorrow morning when I wake up after Shachas I paid in Gilead. Now's the time to accept the money." So Moshe Shmotcha Schulzinger said over this story, after he said over Shlomo Kluger's vort, that this is something we can connect with a little bit easier. That the Tviyah on Yosef HaTzadik was, don't do Ishtadlus so much for the future. We need to do Ishtadlus, a little bit of Ishtadlus, or a lot of Ishtadlus, everybody according to Madrega, we do it when we need to do it. To always keep planning in advance, that's already a chesaron in our betochen, even if we're on a Madrega, we need to do Ishtadlus. To do things in advance, to think ahead, that's not necessary. Anything can happen. We're not supposed to plan and think and do Ishtadlus for the future. How do we come to this Madrega to be Mayit our Ishtadlus? There's a Gewaltige letter from Biskarov. He writes, "How is it possible for there to be a true history book? How is it possible for there to be a proper history book?" He says, when events happen in the world, the next day they're portrayed in the media in different ways, in the papers in different ways. Every editor's got his own political leaning, his own way of portraying events. The very next morning, events are completely portrayed differently in different media. If you're looking at Israel, the morning after Nebuch, that Hanof massacre, you'd see one way of the story being portrayed. The BBC, on their news bulletin, it started off, Palestinian shot in Hanof in Jerusalem. Completely twisted. They might have apologized later, but that's the way they heard the news, they understood the news. Everybody's got their bias in portraying news. The newspapers all explain the story that happened yesterday in a different way, from a different angle. So the Chaznish, thousands of years later, when the history books have been reproduced and reproduced and reproduced, how do you expect there to be any truth in what we read in history books? And he goes further, and he writes, it's not just the history books distort exactly what happened, and they omit details, and they add their own spice and their own details. It's much more than that. The way they write the news story is the wrong way round. They explain it wrongly. So there's two chesroinus in a history book. First of all, the details are not accurate, they're far from accurate. And secondly, the way it's portrayed and given over is the wrong way around. I'll explain what that means in a second. And he writes, the only history book we can rely on is the Nach, is the Torah, where there the Torah or the Nach is written Baruch HaKodesh B'Nevuah, it's written portraying the right cause and effect. And he gives an example. It says in Pasuk many times, Vayasu b'nei Yisrael ra b'nei Hashem. This is bad in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayim korim b'yad kush na HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Enslaved them. He subjected them to difficulties. Vayis'aku b'nei Yisrael al Hashem. Vayokam Hashem Moshia. That's our history book. When we misbehave, we get punished. We do tshuva, we get saved. That's the history book, which is telling us the real sibba of Masoiva, the cause and effect. That brings to mind, of course, the famous Beis Halevi on this Vikedra, Vahimi Ketchin Osayim Yomim Apare Choylem. Why are these two things written in the same Pasuk? It's two separate points. Yosef has been 12 extra 2 years in prison. Pari had a dream. If you think of Mitzrayim, if they had newspapers in those days, or they must have had some way, it was quite a civilized country for the standards in those years. If they had newspapers, the Morning Post would have been with a headline, Pari dreamt, Pari had a dream, Pari dreamt, Pari is frustrated. That would have been the headlines of every newspaper. And the afternoon news, the evening papers would have said, Pari had a dream, and he couldn't find time to interpret it. And as the news slowly filtered out from the palace, the next day would be that they found somebody who interpreted the dream, and this person was rewarded, he made a viceroy, released from prison. So the portrayal of the story would be that Pari dreamt, that was the cause. And because of those events, and the events that happened afterwards, that led to the release of Yosef from prison. Says the Beis Halevi, the Torah is trying to stress to us, that's not what happened. The cause wasn't Pari's dream, and the effect was Yosef was let out of prison. It's the reverse. Vahimi Ketchin Asayim Yomim. Because it came to the end of 2 years, Yosef is supposed to be released from prison. That's why Pari dreamt. The cause was Yosef needs to go out of prison. That's why Pari had his dream. And had Yosef been punished to only remain 1 year in prison, Pari would have dreamt a year earlier. Had it been 5 years, Pari would have dreamt 5 years later. The way the Egyptians and the world would have looked at the story was completely the opposite of what actually took place. It was Yosef who was supposed to come out of the prison. And why was Yosef in prison extra 2 years? Because he said, Kim Zachatani. So the real cause of Yosef, of Pari's dream, was that lack of bitachon. However you're going to explain it, we explained two ways beforehand. That lack of bitachon, that's what caused Pari to dream at that stage, at that night, in that night. That's the Torah telling us. This is a very important Beis Halevi, that the cause was the location of Sayim Yomim. That's why Pari dreamt. That's the way we've got to look at history, what's happening around us. The Medrash actually writes in Mefurish this vort of the Beis Halevi, Medrash Iyov and Perek Chofches, Kate Shom Le Yosef. Akshbohu set a time when Yosef is supposed to be released from prison. Kami Yabes Asurim. Kimeshegiya Kate, because it came that moment, or Pari Choylim. Mefurish and Medrash like the Beis Halevi, Pari dreamt because the time had come for Yosef to come out of prison. In relation to current events, this big announcement from the White House, from Trump, he's moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim. Of course, the ramifications of this announcement were felt around the world. Riots, tension, people in Eretz Yisrael. Speaking last week to my kids, there was a certain tension. There were much more police around. There was riots, unrest. People felt unsafe. People were careful. And in all countries around the world, there were protests and puts to a degree a certain threat on our lives. We look at it. The way the newspapers or radio or other ways of receiving news portray it, President Trump, straight for some things, and he's decided to do what is obvious, and he's taken the courage to do it against world opinion, and he decided to move the embassy to Yerushalayim. And some people might think to themselves, he hasn't done us a favor. Look at the tension, look at the danger, people can get killed because of this announcement. Look what's happening as a result. That's what we might feel, we might look at these events. Really, it's the complete opposite. We're supposed to look at it, that we're going to have tension. We're going to be in danger. Danger inspires us to turn back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. danger can be a result of Averis. We need to mechazik ourselves in our Yiddishkeit. The way we're supposed to look at this news item is that we're supposed to have tension. Kesbohu's sending us a message to improve ourselves. That is the cause. The effect is that President Trump made that announcement. That's the way we're supposed to look at this news, if we know about it. That's the way we're supposed to look at it. It's because Klal Yisrael have to be in a certain situation. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in his mind and put him there in the first place. With his way of thinking, all looks like Teva, but that is the result of what's supposed to happen. That is the cause. Klal Yisrael need to have some tension. But surely, source and creation of Royal and Klal Yisrael the center stage of the world. Trump is only the effect of that cause. That's how we've got to view this news. We should start making cheshbonos. Well, what did he have to do it for? It makes danger for us. And why is Netanyahu backing him? Forget. Shouldn't he realize this is... And we have all our opinions and the way of looking at this news item. We've got to look at it right. What is the cause and what's the effect? Then Klal run into trouble. That's where we've got to look at it. Not to get so mushba from the papers, from the radio, in the sequence of events, because they're going to portray it that Parich Olam, that's why Yosef came out of prison, because Trump said that's why there's riots, that's why there's unrest around, there's tension. That's the reverse of the reality of what's really happening, the way we're supposed to look at it. Well, Emerson, Chanukah has got this very same message. Chanukah, Chazal tell us, is called Chanukah for one reason. Chanukah. Not one reason, there's a few reasons, but one reason is why Chanukah is called Chanukah, because Chanukah, they won the battle on the 24th, and they rested and relaxed and celebrated on the 25th. It's very strange. We don't usually find a Yontov given a name by a date. Chanukah, is that such an important point in the story for us to call the Yontov by the name of the date when they rested? What's behind this? Chazal gave it a name, Chanukah. Chazal tell us, when Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, they made the eagle, the Anane Kovet disappeared. They did Tshuva, the 40 days of Elul. When Yom Kippur, Shmoch, Se Selachti, Kedvorecha, Mochre, Shem, HaKippurim, they started giving Ledovas to build the Mishkan. The first day Sukkot, the Anane Kovet returned. That's the reason for the sukkah, for the Anane Kovod returning. They finished building the Mishkan on the 24th of Kislev. They wanted to set it up straight away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, wait till Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Wait till Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Shteit in Chazal that Chofei Kislev came with a taina. Yeah, every day of the year is got to be on a Shoma. Yeah? Shabbos comes and says, Shvachim, Shabbos complains, Lekulam Yesh Ben Zug. Chofei Kislev can come with a Taina. So, why isn't there Chanukah in Mizbeach on Chofei Kislev when it should have been? Because that's when the Mishkan was finished building, being built. So, Rabbi Nishloilam, you'll get your chance. You're going to get your chance in the future. Zishti de Medrash. Again, how do we look at the story of Chanukah? There was a battle. Nobody knows how long a battle can take. Second World War took 6 years. Other battles took 6 days. And some battles, we don't know how long a battle can take. The battle happened to finish on Chof Dalet Kislev. And they were able to rest, therefore, on the 25th of Kislev and make Chanukah and Mizbeach. That's not the way we're supposed to look at it. We're supposed to look at it faket. That Chofei Kislev, that was a day predestined to be the day of Chanukah and Mizbeach. Therefore, all the events that took place in an order that the battle should finish on the 24th and Chanukah and Mizbeach should take place on the 25th, which was a day predestined for Chanukah and Mizbeach. Chazal gave the name Chanukah. It's the Chof Hei which caused the battle to be won on the 24th. It's not the battle is won 24th, that's why we make a Chanukah on 25th. It's the Chof Hei, which was a date which was predestined to be the Chanukah Mizbeach, that's why they won the battle on the 24th. It's very interesting. The Chanukah is a Yontav which is celebrated even in very secular circles. They make a fuss about Hanukkah. You know, the Maccabee team, they're very into Hanukkah as a yontov, which is, you find, being kept by a very wide spectrum of Klal Yisrael, even those who don't keep a lot about the Yomim Tovim. And they can associate themselves with Hanukkah very much because it was a battle, a physical battle. A war took place and we won the war. It's a victory. They can understand the celebration of it. It's very strange. And maybe that's why Chazal felt it very necessary to call it Chanukah. Pesach was obviously a miracle. Nobody can deny it. The ten Makkas, all the Makkas, the Kriyas Yamsuf, the whole going out of Mitzrayim was so miraculous. It was full of miracles. But the Milchama against the Greeks is somewhat in the Derech HaTeva. They went to make battle. And that's what even secular Eden celebrate, this victory. There's a very big mokum litois that it was a victory, it was a battle, it was a good strategy. They played it well, they managed to have the right equipment, they managed to win the battle. Chazal stresses Chanukah, it's nothing to do with them winning the battle on the 24th. This is a predestined date, it's supposed to be a Yom Tov. To be Ma'ira, the Siv is the Chanukah, the Chofei. That's why they won the battle, it wasn't the other way around. Giborim Biat Chaloshim, Chazal tell us, Rashi, Chumash brings it. There were 12 of them with a Lozor, 13 people neged an army, a sophisticated army, a major army with elephants, as Chazal tell us. Elephants were the tanks of those days, or the warships. It was a battle which was completely lopsided. Giborim Biat Chaloshim, who were these Chaloshim? They weren't trained to fight. And how many of them were there? It was a perfect and a complete miracle from beginning to end. It was a complete miracle. But the Netzachon of a battle has nothing to do with how well equipped or who's equipped or how they're equipped or what the strategy is. In every battle that takes place around the world, they always discuss after the strategy. And they make investigations and other countries look at the strategy, how they won the battle. And when people lose a battle, they also investigate, sometimes for decades, what went wrong, how can we fix it, how can we change it? Maybe in the realm of Ishtar, we're supposed to do that. But that's not the reality. The reality is not the strategy or exactly how they carried out the battle. The reality is, there's one reality, and that is, what was predestined to happen? Who was supposed to win? That's the reality. The Sib is who's supposed to win. That's the cause. The effect is everything that takes place. And all the different things that happen. All the different things that happen, that's already the effect. In the Sinai, in the Yom Kippur War, when Israel was caught completely off guard, there was a division of tanks heading up the Sinai Desert with nothing to stop them. A division of tanks with nothing to stop them is a tremendous threat to Klal Yisrael. There were a few soldiers with an officer on a hilltop in the desert, and they looked helplessly as these tanks were rumbling forward. A famous story, an officer was watching with binoculars, he couldn't believe it. He noticed the spare tank of fuel was still strapped on the turret of the tank. When they do maneuvers in peacetime, they always keep a spare tank of fuel. In case the tank runs out of fuel, you'll be able to refuel it. But these spare tanks are supposed to be taken off in time of battle. And with quick orders, he gave his few soldiers orders each to take one tank and fire at the fuel tank. And it wasn't so difficult, it wasn't such a distance away, and they managed, with a few bullets, to blow up these tanks. The bullet hits the fuel tank, the tank explodes. There's actually pictures of this division of tanks, still in formation, with smoke, black smoke, billowing out of it. It's Sibur Masayviv. This is not because the commander of the Egyptian was stupid, he probably was, but that's not the reason why. That he didn't have seichel. He didn't have seichel, and he made a mistake, and put the soldiers noticed it. That's not the way we look at the events. The Sib is Akshpoch Adrachmanos and Klal Yisrael, the Tfilah. That's the Sib. The Masayiv was the events that took place that led to the destruction of this division of tanks. If we look at the Bach, the famous Bach, when he speaks about the Chanukah, he writes the Gzeira was the Shlash Leva Avoida. The difficulties came as a result of Shrash Leba Avoida. It's not clear where the Bach got this from. I was interested in Bach. when they were mechazik themselves in the tshuva, then they won the battle. That's the sibba, the way we behave. Look at the Rambam. When the Rambam speaks about Hanukkah, again the same thing. There's no mention of the strategy, of the strength, or anything about the battle. He writes very clearly. He writes, Tzal Em Yisrael, life was difficult. Ma'oid, Mipnei, Meloichsum Lachatz God, there was tremendous pressure. Ad Sherichem Aleim Alekei Aviseinu, Til Akshpoch Ad Rachmonas. That's the story. The story is when Akshpoch Ad Rachmonas, we win the battle. Why is Akshpoch Ad Rachmonas? Because we did tshuva. So, gewaltige Sach, Yechovetz Chaim. Chazal tell us, Gemara Nidda, before a person is born, it's destined whether he's going to be rich or poor. It's predestined before a person is born whether he's going to be rich or poor. Gemara Nidda of Zayin. The Mishnah tells us, it's not the rich man that becomes rich, necessarily. It's nothing to do with it. It's got to do with who's supposed to be rich, who's supposed to be poor. This is Chovetz Chaim, a tremendous knesh, a nice sofer to this. So sometimes we do see people who became rich, so tremendous chokhmah, tremendous strategy, tremendous pikchas. It looks like they've made the right decisions at the right time, and people can think, and it does look like is this chokhmah which earned him so much money. On the other hand, people are stupid, always do the wrong things, always think in the wrong fashion. You see, look, that's why they've lost their money, because they've made mistakes, they've made wrong decisions. Although Chazal tells us Chochem Yashe, but sometimes we do look at it and it looks like that this is what caused them to become rich. It's hard for us to believe in the Sibba Masoiva, to believe in the Chroza before a person is born. He writes, a person who's destined to be rich, he is given pikchas, because in the Teva, the pikchas is going to make him rich. It's not pshat that because he was a pikach he made money. Because he's supposed to make money, he was giving pikachs. Not always, a stupid person can also make money sometimes. It's not always like that. The Chofetz Chaim says, for those who think, or those who are convinced that it's someone's pikachs that made him so rich, and someone's stupidity that made him so poor, so the Chofetz Chaim is also part of it. A person who's destined to be rich, Hashem gives him the chachma. So because he's destined to be rich, that's why he's got the chachma. It's not because he's Chochmah that he became rich. I was listening to Chofetz Chaim for the first time last night. Even we do feel that this fellow did all the right moves and he mamash saw in advance and he did the right things. That's not the pshat. That's why he was rich. He was supposed to be rich. That's why he had the Chochmah. He was given the Chochmah. Put faket than we think. Sibba Masayiv. A person buys shares. The shares go up. He sells them the right time. And after he sells them, they go down. Baruch Hashem, I bought them the right time, I sold them the right time, Shpochel gave me what I needed. I made the money from the right decisions. It's faket, it's always faket. The person's supposed to earn that amount of money, Shpochel put in his mind to buy the right shares. You can't win the market. The market has got so many forces, it's impossible to predict the market. People who claim they can, I wouldn't invest money with them. It's impossible to predict the market. The market went up. The person in Retzachan, yeah, because he thought this company's going to do well. It's no shaykhs at all. The person's supposed to make, Shpoch put his mind to buy the shares, Shpoch made the market go up, he put in his mind to sell at the right time. That is the Sibba Masayiv. To remind myself now, that when they sold the railway companies 20 years ago, so everybody bought, you know, it was quite a few different regions, and everybody, when the government were privatizing, everybody was buying the new issues, and buying as much as they could of it, because it was all, almost guaranteed it's going to go up. Almost got till I think rail track. That was the first time that things changed a little bit. And I just remember that people bought it, and people don't want to start dealing, investing in shares. So they always told the brokers, sell at opening. Sell at opening, finish, Gendix, whatever I make. I'm not dealing shares, it's gambling. It's not gambling, but in that sort of way, it was sort of just a gamble. People weren't involved in watching the share price and understand the market. Just sell at an opening. I remember I was fascinated by the fact that on opening, the price fluctuated so much in a split second, and the brokers were putting through the deals, couldn't get the deals through. In that split second, there were thousands and thousands of deals that went through, buying and selling. In the split second of opening, there were people that made money, people that lost money. It started off at a price above the selling price, and literally in a split second, a few seconds, it dropped below the purchase price. The people who bought for the same broker from the same company, they bought the same amount, somebody made, somebody lost. I just felt it was almost like a message from the Rabbeinu Shleilam. Who's controlling exactly how one makes money? It's Honj Zaton, the Sibba Masayiv. That is what we've got to always think about. What's the Sibba, what's the Masayiv? Of course, in the secular world, in the newspapers, and all the news outlets, we get so taken in by the way it's portrayed. That's what the Chaznish is writing. He's writing, it's not just the facts are distorted. The Chaznish is writing in his letter, it's the Sibba Masayiv that's distorted. When we read something, we digest it, and we look at it the way the editors portrayed it. And that's the danger. We lose the focus, we lose the reality. The famous Meiser, I don't remember who it was, because of Chaim Brisk, I'm not sure who it was. One of the Gedolim, they were shown the newspaper that one of the other Gedolim died. I don't remember who it was, maybe somebody remembers who it was. One of the other Gedolim, see, he looked at it funny. He carried on life as normal. A few hours later, someone came in this medrash and said, I've just travelled from the place, and this gadol died. And he sat down, he took kriya, he started crying. Somebody asked him, but you knew about it a few hours earlier, what happened? He said, you can't trust a newspaper. You can't trust a newspaper. The newspaper said so, in Shkanaya, it happened. I had to hear it from an Eid Nehmon. Something to Reb Chaim Brisk, this story. Oh, but this is the way we're going to look at it. That's what the message of Chanukah is. Chanukah is telling us a message. The Gemara Be'at Chaloshim is supposed to be on the Chofei Kislev, the victory, the Chanukah. It's going to be Chanukah Samzbech on the Chofei Kislev. That is the reason why, when the war started, how long it took, how it played itself out. That's why they won on the Chof Dalet. Chanukah, the date, was predestined to be a date of victory when they could rest from the yoke of the Yevonim, of the Greeks. That's the message of Chanukah. That's the message from the first pasuk of this week's Hedra. A yimikation assignment, and that's why Pari Cholim. It's so relevant today that we made a simple example of this story last week, Trump announcing to move the embassy. This is continuously something we need to focus on. What is the Sibba? What's the Masayiv? That's why Shmuel wants us to do it. That's the message of Chanukah, the message of this week's Hedra. When we do that, when we focus what's the Sibba Masayiv, then we can work on coming towards the Madrega, which we start off with, of Yosef HaTzadik being calm, Yosef HaTzadik being punished for doing Ishtadlus earlier than he's supposed to. We're supposed to be relaxed, we're supposed to know Sibba Masayiv, we're not supposed to worry. That is the oifen how to bring ourselves to the Madregas of Betochen we would like to reach, to try and copy Yosef HaTzadik, to try and get to the Madrega we feel we need to get to, is to work on this mindset, what's the Sibba, what's the Masayiv. Good.